Father, we ask that you'd help us have that focus on you each and every day, Lord. That we would burn 24/7 for the things of your kingdom. Teach us and show us the things that come and try to steal that, eat at that, and eat at the very fabric of being intentional towards you. So, Lord, we love you. Exalt your great name. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Matt, will you go back here and flip that one switch on? We're going to switch up a little bit. Instead of ministering right now, I just want to speak for just a little bit. Then we're going to have the Clevenger share, so we're through with worship right now. We may come back to some worship. Also, if you didn't get to take communion, please come and get it any time during our time together, and you can bring your offering up. And I just really felt like that last song was such a key that could tie in to what I feel like the Lord's given me to share. There's two kingdoms coming forth always on a regular basis. If you're reading John 14, 15, 16, and 17, court, you know, you're seeing that. Well, it's in John 18. You'd have had to read for extra credit. But 18:36 talks about that there's two kingdoms colliding. And really more in this nation, if you will, than some of the third world countries that understand witchcraft, blessings, and curses. You go to Africa, they understand the spirit realm better than we do here in this nation, if you will. You even go to Mexico, they understand it better because one of the times when I was there a few years ago, they showed a video of the cartel. They do sacrifices to this demonic god because they believe this demonic god gives them power to stay protected and do the things that they're doing. But in America, we seem to be more driven, flesh-oriented, and blood-oriented than understanding the realm of the Spirit. Last week, I shared out of Scripture that God Himself says, do not be ignorant of the schemes of the devil. He also says, do not be ignorant of the spiritual gifts. Now, this is God that we believe it. We believe Scripture says in Timothy that all Scripture is God-breathed. God is saying, don't be ignorant, church. Don't be ignorant of how the enemy wants to lull you to sleep or lull you into thinking that you're flesh and blood motivated or that you can get things accomplished by your own strengths and trusting in your own gifts and talents. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 10, because this message is about understanding spiritual warfare because you're in it every day, whether you know it or not. And I want to tell you another thing. You're being discipled by one of those kingdoms every day, exactly, all the time. You're either being discipled by the kingdom of God, His love, His mercy, His truth. God is spirit. So why would we be more flesh-oriented of judging things and walking in the things of the Spirit if God is Spirit? Two-thirds of the Trinity is Spirit, right? I'm just talking theology 101, right? Jesus is the one flesh came in the form of the Father came in the form of the Father from heaven. And so the deal is we should be more spiritually in tune to the things of the Spirit. In fact, I would ask you, how many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, rhetorical question. In other words, Jason, that means you don't have to answer out loud, okay, if you didn't know that. So just kidding. Just playing there. How many of you ask for the gift of discernment daily? It is one of the most important gifts that we need in this day and time. Many of us are asking for faith, healings, and miracles, and you need that, and I ask for that too. But we need the gift of discernment in a big way. And it's only the Holy Spirit that can show us the things that are going on. Let's look at the things of the Spirit and how the enemy, he's known as the angel of light, right? Scripture. He's known as the angel of light. He knows how to put counterfeit in his hooks, even in Scripture. Even in his declarations, turn to Acts 16. Again, another reading that I hope that you're doing is the book of Acts over and over, asking the Lord to show us the things that we need to understand that are the things of the Spirit. The church is empowered. Their flesh and blood is empowered by the Holy Spirit that shows up into Acts 2 and releases and empowers them to be people that don't settle for the ordinary but release the supernatural into the cities and into the world. They're empowered, though, by the Spirit of the living God. And now, all of a sudden, these guys who are never trained in a theological school, they're doing extraordinary feats. I mean, Peter's having a trance on a rooftop, and while he's having this trance and seeing this sheet fall from heaven, in another little town, in a Gentile town, Cornelius is having an encounter with an angel. I mean, heaven and earth are in total exchange. Can I tell you, heaven and earth are constantly in an exchange. And hell and earth are in an exchange too. The two cultures constantly colliding. And again, we're being discipled by one of those cultures every day. Okay, so verse 16, cool story here. Great, great story. One day as Paul and Silas were going down to a place of prayer, we met a demon-possessed slave girl. She was a fortune teller who earned a lot of money for her masters. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God and they have come to tell you how to be saved." She's carrying both cultures of an understanding because she has a revelatory gift. She's like what Amy said a couple of times ago on the dream interpretation. She's carrying a demonic realm, but she can still get information from heaven because she has a revelatory gift. It's cloaked very much in darkness, but it is a revelatory gift, if you will. And so here she is declaring, these men of God, listen to their message because they're going to tell you how to be saved. Now think what this demonic spirit and the Spirit of God has shown her a little bit of things too. This demonic spirit speaking through this young girl is telling, and again, she's from the kingdom of darkness, the culture that we really don't want to be discipled by. She's telling these people who will listen, these men will tell you how to get out of the kingdom of darkness. Again, we cannot be ignorant of the schemes of the devil or ignorant of the things of the Spirit. The problem is, many churches today in America, we would make her our marketing agent of our churches. We would. Because we lack discernment and understand the things of the Spirit. We'd go, oh wow, man, she is bold in her faith. Man, she's really tuned into God. Hey, do you want to be our marketing dude of our church? And I really believe there's many of them that have positions in our churches all over this nation because we're spiritually dead. The reason the spirit of Jezebel is so real and alive in our church is because we've given them position and authority on our staff, on eldership. It's not just a male or female deal. Guys, I want to talk to you real today. We have got to get spiritually in tune to the spiritual chaos in the Spirit of God that is constantly going on a regular basis. Amen? So here we are. Paul and Silas, they're smart enough to know to not make her the marketing agent for them to be spreading, come listen, you know, to the tent meeting tonight. This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And instantly it left her. And her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered. We need to have some bankruptcy going on in the kingdom of darkness over our cities. This woman who had made great wealth for her masters in this city, the kingdom of darkness was being so influential and effective in this city, now it's bankrupt. Come on, man, that's pretty good. Now it is bankrupt and the Spirit of God is going to be released in an incredible way. Where when you read on through the story, Paul and Silas are beaten for this act. Many of us would be sitting in prison, you know, because then not only are they beaten, but then they're thrown in jail. Many of us would be complaining, well, God, if you really love me. Now, again, I'm talking about American theology here. They expected the kingdom of darkness to hate them. They expected to be beaten by demons and darkness. Oh, no, the American church, we'd sit in there and we'd question if God loved us. Come on, don't everybody shut me down. We would sit in there and we would question for the next 10 years if God really loved us. God tells us in Acts 2 that you better expect to be martyred for his namesake for the degree of witness that we needed to be. See, I'm thankful for everything that happened yesterday in Houston, but what do we build on today? Yesterday's manna and authority and everything that was released yesterday, what happened to the Clevengers in Chicago this past week, it will become day-old manna if we don't learn to build on the things of God through the Spirit of God and through the Word of God. The reason we fall into so much counterfeit of spiritual of darkness is because we are not reading this Word that is the blueprint to a healthy life in Christ. We are not reading this blueprint that teaches me of how to have a successful marriage of 29 years and God willing 30 more to build on top of that. And then we wonder how come the kingdom of darkness is ruling and reigning in our cities. Come on, don't shut me down. We have got to grow up and understand we are being discipled by somebody and someone every day of our life. We must quit being ignorant of the things of the Spirit. And we must be a generation that rises up and in the midst of chaos, quit bowing our knees to the culture of darkness and the culture of the earth, and be kissed by God and God only. From everything, from the garden, from the very beginning, there was a choice. The choice of the presence of God and the choice of the tree of life or the choice of the tree of good and evil. The devil will always tell us that, if you'll eat this tree, you're going to be as smart as God. Well, they already were. They were already as smart as God. They were as wise as God. He even says, if you'll eat this tree, you'll be made in his image. They already were. As we're taking communion, do you realize that as you take this and you appropriate by faith that we're in his image also today? He's the last Adam and accomplished everything. When he said from the cross that it is finished, do we really believe that every issue in life is finished? And where is the night and day prayer that needs to be released for the justice of God to be made manifest? Because again, that's what God says. What I found out this last week, staying up till midnight, that is not my normal bedtime. I like to go to bed a lot earlier than that. Prayer is work. Night and day prayer is work. We're coming up here yesterday from 10 to 5. Let me tell you what, I was tired. I'm not going to lie to you, but you know, I have a high priest that understands that tiredness because he was asleep on a ship once, a little boat. But I love what Bill Johnson says. When you get so close to the Spirit of God and to the kingdom of God, you can sleep through any storm. The disciples, we can see that they were being discipled by a culture other than the kingdom of God because they're all up on the deck going, oh my gosh, does he not even care we're going to perish right here? What's some fruit of the kingdom of darkness? Fear? Shame? Rejection? Unbelief? They were being discipled. Our fruit, I'll give you a double dog challenge. Watch what you say this week. Your words will show to you, reveal to you the fruit of what you're being discipled by. Do you gossip? Do you complain? Do you murmur? Do you find fault with people? Do you think God loves somebody better than you? Can I tell you, you're not a bad person. You just got a kingdom of darkness kind of sitting on your shoulder whispering to you, and you're believing everything he's telling you. When I get with people, I ask three questions. And many of you that I've gotten with, you know I ask you the questions. If you're married, I go, how's your relationship with your spouse? Because if your relationship with your spouse isn't good, can I tell you, your relationship with God is not near as strong as you think it is. The Lord rebuked me about 15 years ago, and he says, you really don't listen to me too well. And I think, I'm going for God, on fire for him, loving him, going for it. And God goes, you don't listen to me that well. I say, God, how dare you say that? Number one, it's a time to see the reason I identify with Peter so well, because he opens mouth and inserts foot. I do that quite often. You know, I go, God, how could you say such a thing? Hey, women of God, great to see you. How could you say such a thing? And he says, you don't listen to your wife. You don't listen to her heart cry. You don't listen to what she's really trying to tell you. Because you see, men, we got this curse. We before our wives are through one sentence or a half a sentence, and we've already got it fixed in our mind how to fix them. Right, guys? Right, husbands? Lori took a deep breath right when I was starting on this, bro. I saw it. So anyway, just kidding. Even though she did, she goes, but it really is the truth. And I'm the guiltiest husband of all. Now, Andrew, look at him. He's snuggling up to his wife, repenting to her back here. It's really sad. I mean, yeah, it's pretty pitiful husband fruit there. Oh, sweetie, I'm sorry for doing that on the way to church here. What we do in the natural, how we treat relationships, is how we treat things in the spirit. If you didn't get that, I'm going to say it again. How you treat fruit in the natural is how you're really doing it in the spirit. The Bible says the natural first, then the spirit. God was giving me revelatory lesson 101 15 years ago when God said, you don't listen to me that well. Well, God, how can you say that? Well, because you're not doing a very good job of really listening to your wife's heart. And I still probably only get a B+ on my best day, but I do try to be intentional. And with God, his grace kicks in that even if I'm a B+, he kicks it up to an A+ because he's a good daddy. That's our daddy. He always kicks it up to an A+. Amen? So what generation are we going to be of, really? What culture are we really going to sell out to? Last week I talked about the story of Moses where the demonic realm, I tied in about four words there. And that was in tongues. You're supposed to get the interpretation. You got it? Good, good. Where Moses throws his rod down and it turns into a snake. And so Pharaoh calls his demonic brothers in, his musicians, his magicians. Sorcerers. Thank you. His musicians, no, magicians. I'm getting drunk in the spirit up here, I think. But as they came in and they threw down their rods, they turned into snakes also. And what I shared, many of us are having demonic things nip at our destiny and keeping us from fulfilling our destiny. But isn't it cool about God? His kingdom is so great, so powerful. He let his snake go over there and be the first Pac-Man on the face of the earth and eat up all of the little other snakes of the magicians. And see, God says in 1 John, the kingdom, the one within you, is far greater than the devil. We need to quit coming up with excuses that we can't. Because what we're saying, we're contradicting the word of God. Meditate forever and ever on that scripture that the one in you is far greater than the one in the world. Are we going to be a Saul or a David, a Saul that cared more about the appearance and fear of man? Or are we going to be a David? Yeah, he had a hiccup or two, but he had a heart after God. And when God confronted Saul, Saul never repented. He always cared about what man thought. Rhetorical question number two, do you care more about what man thinks or more about what God thinks? If you care more about what man thinks, the culture of the darkness is communicating to you real well. When you care more about what God thinks, you're listening to the correct kingdom, and the Spirit of God is having communion with you. Very, very good. We want that book, the book of Acts, the book of Acts to come alive. They stood up in the midst of the opportunity to be killed and said, do we obey you, man, or do we obey God? Now, they're making this declaration to people that had the authority to kill them. And when it was all said and done, all of them were martyred but John. All lost their life, but they were discipled by the one true kingdom that made a difference and brought life. You know, I wish I could go and hover over the city of Rome that day. Christian history talks about on one end of the city in Rome that day that Peter was hung upside down. On the very same day, on the other end of Rome, it says that Paul was martyred for his faith. Can you imagine how the kingdom of darkness was rejoicing? But yet you see, the kingdom of God has no end. Isaiah 9 says his kingdom is always increasing. You can kill me, Rhett, any of us for our faith. The kingdom of God's going to keep going on. Because you see, if we're doing things right, we're discipling people and raising up the next generation. Amen? Rhetorical question number 3, who are you discipling? And are you discipling them with the culture of God and to the best of your ability, 0 or 5% of the culture of the earth? Wheat and tares, we see in Matthew 13 that while men slept, that can preach right there. You know, we have to be intentional every day, and we have to be fresh with the Lord every day. You cannot live on manna, the Word of God 3 days ago, and miss reading the Word, miss spending time with Him, and not expect for your spirit man to not go to sleep. While men slept, the enemy snuck into a field, it says, and where wheat was starting to grow up, the enemy sowed bad seeds in to cause tares to come up. T-A-R-E-S. The servants came to the master. He says, man, did you not plant good seed? He said, yeah, I did, but an enemy came into the camp. Church, if you don't get anything today, you have to tell your spirit man to stay awake every day. But you see, you have two kingdoms that are constantly colliding, and one that other kingdom of darkness wants to get you a little lukewarm, a little bit more, a little bit more. He can't wipe your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life, but he'll try to get you to where you're not effective in your spiritual land. So what kind of tares do you have growing up? I love God. God will allow us to pull them down. I'm going to read this great, best article or the best ministry today, I believe, that's ever been published. It's the only ministry magazine I take because it's so good and they focus on stuff. This past one was of Mike Bickle and his church. And I read this article by Misty Edwards that made me jump into the Word of God and start looking and start examining the depth of what she was saying. There's a day dawning that has extreme conflict in it. And the battle at the end of the age will be the battle for the passion. And when she said that, one of the things I've always prayed to Sojourn for years, the way that God accomplished, the way Jesus accomplished everything was found in passion. Isaiah 9, what does it say? The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this government being made manifest. You see, again, the enemy, what he tries to do, he tries to put those little critters in your life. And you to drink and listen to those critters to start stealing your passion. Because you see, he knows Isaiah 9 and Isaiah 61 that you'll set the captives free if your zeal of the Lord is in full force. But you see, he puts those little things out there like the illustration of Moses to try to come and nip at your passion and your intentionality. I'm going to say it again. The battle at the end of the age will be the battle for the passion of man, a war between two worship movements. Write these scriptures down and read it. Read them later. It's out of Revelations 13, 4, 8, and 15. And it starts talking, and in that particular passage, it's about the beast and that all will bow down that do not know Jesus and worship the beast. Now, we all know that, but Misty starts painting this picture that there are two kingdoms of music being released. The kingdom of God that we worshiped here, and it's pure and it's going for it. But then there's this music that Lady Gaga's producing. It's the truth, though, church. You are being discipled by one culture or another. And for those who say, well, Pastor Mike, you said over and over that the kingdom of God, the relationship with Jesus is not a do and don't list. I used to believe that until this last week, I think. Let me rephrase that. Wendy Case called me out here. I have made the comment before that our relationship with Jesus is not about a do or don't list. In other words, it's all about freedom. And it is. But sometimes in our state and walk of maturity, we need some spiritual moms and dads that will tell us, you don't need to touch that. I want to tell you and get, I'm going to show you the scripture that will prove it and show it to you. Acts 15, 19 and 20. And they've just had this big council, leaders of the apostles of all apostles, Peter and James and John. I mean, this makes our conferences of apostles that we have today look small with these brothers there. And they come to the conclusion, well, do we tell the Gentiles that they don't have to live by our law and that they do have to get circumcised in the natural, or do they do or don't have to get? And so they come up, well, no, they really don't have to. But it says, but let's tell them this. We should write and tell them to abstain from eating food offered to idols, from sexual immorality, and from eating meat strangled with animals, and from consuming the blood. What all that means, I'm going to try to tie it in here so Wendy K doesn't send me a bad email later. And I'm kidding, just having fun over here. I shared a couple of months ago, for 14 years after God delivered me of drugs and alcohol, I never had a sip of alcohol. And somewhere along my walk was actually I was, and I know some of you are going to send me an email on this. That's okay. I like nice emails. Got plenty of them. I usually just hit delete if it's too bad. I love the delete button. I'd done several mission trips in a row, and I mean I had had a stomachache for months. And man, I am praying. I'm asking God to heal me. I haven't gone and seen a doctor, and I mean I'm praying. I mean I'm praying my brains out for healing. Guess what God tells me? Drink a little wine. You don't think I didn't start rebuking a demon? But see, Scripture is what Paul told Timothy. Let it settle your tummy. That was about 20 years ago now, something like that now. Now see, some of you, I've told you, you don't even need to touch it. You don't even need to look at it. Because it's going to steal your passion for Jesus. When I shared a couple of weeks ago about God separates the precious from the vile, vile's not a terrible thing. When you really look at it, vile is what steals the very thing, steals your passion for the Lord. For some, that's the reason this part is not a do and don't list. I cannot give you a do or don't list that makes you successful, because all of ours are different. And it's about the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And it's about really being open to spiritual moms and dads who love you and says, son, daughter, you're not mature enough to touch that yet. Because it's going to make you stumble and it's going to make you fall away from the Lord. You see, that's the reason the government of spiritual mothers and fathers are so key, because the true meaning of an apostle is a spiritual dad and mom. But you see, in this nation, we're so independent. How dare you tell me that? But we need spiritual moms and dads that we know love us and have the best interest for our lives. That'll go, son, daughter, you can't touch that yet. When God told me that, I took it before two of my spiritual dads go, man, this is what I think is God said out of Timothy. He says, man, they weighed the word because I had that issue years ago of drugs and alcohol. And they said, we believe it's God. So then I responded and acted on that word. So do we really want to go lining up with the government that I believe God's calling forth in this time and season? A government that I believe that will open up the book of Acts in a big way. A big way. Because those were true spiritual moms and dads that helped navigate through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So there's this, back to the worship deal. And I started thinking of what Misty said in this article. I started thinking, Lady Gaga's trying to lead a generation of young girls and guys, especially the latest song where she sings about the homosexual issue. And she's trying to lead a generation that makes that acceptable. Now, please, I love homosexuals, lesbians. That's not the issue. Love. But are we going to line up with the Word of God? And how do we articulate this true alignment with the Word and love together? See, that's where we got to mature, to where we could have 100 of them come in next Sunday and they would not feel condemned at all into this house. And if they did, God, I know that God would cause my preaching to be different than I'm being so upfront today in. But church, we have got to grow up and we have got to be sensitive and we have to be discipled by the kingdom of God. And no longer, to the best of our ability, no culture of the earth. Katy Perry, I was listening to a song of her, and I'm telling you, man, I love that beat. I mean, I love the beat of this music. I mean, I used to be listening to that Babylonian beast sing On the Highway to Hell, and I used to sing it with AC/DC, went to 3 of their concerts. Let me tell you why. I was on the highway to hell, and I'm singing along with them. On the highway to hell. Back in Black, man. One of my favorite groups. AC/DC was back in those times. See, right there. We got, he's shouting me down. But I'm telling you what, I'm listening to the beat of the beast. There are spirits on everything just about. And I'm not trying to get you to go be a weird, flaky, charismatic and looking for a demon under every rock. But start judging the plumb line in this. What steals your passion from God? If you don't hear anything else that I said, especially my singing of Highway to Hell, remove that out of your life. Your plumb line of discernment should be, what is stealing your passion for Jesus? Peter made a declaration of words. He said, Jesus does this incredible teaching. If you don't eat of my flesh, drink of my blood, like Dennis Peacock said years ago. He says the Dracula speech. It's how do you cause church growth to go to nothing. Because Jesus out of nowhere is talking about, okay, guys, you got to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Can you think, those guys had to be going, what is he talking about? But you see, God was talking spirit. And if you've been discipled by the culture of the earth so much, you're going to have dull ears. And they didn't get what he was talking about. So he gives this incredible speech in John 6. And from that day, when you look at the fact that he fed about 5,000, that's what he's confronting them about. There was probably 5,000 to 10,000 people that started walking away from Jesus that day because the call to be a committed relationship of intimacy with God is a great sacrifice. And so here, it sounds like in the story, when you read it, there's just about 12 guys left, his disciples. And he says, guys, do you not want to follow them also? And I think it's 667, somewhere in there, 57. Read the whole chapter, you'll love it. When he asks this question, do you not want to go away from me also, guys? Again, words have spirit to them. Culture of darkness or the culture of God. Peter goes, where should we go? For you have the words of eternity. In other words, what he's saying, there's words when you speak, there's something comes alive in me. It just doesn't speak to my flesh and blood. It speaks to my inner man. So when I hear Katy Perry's song about a year ago, I got so angry. Driving down the car, I like to turn on rock music every now and then. I mean, I'm on my process of being redeemed. And I listened to this song, and I wish I could think of the title of it. Somebody younger could probably think of it. No, I can't remember the name of it. Teenage Dream. That's right. You heard me complaining last Sunday about this song. That's right. It tells girls to give up their virginity in this song. But yet, as we all smirk and go, how dare it, many of us listen to it. And we don't realize that atmosphere that it's creating in a generation of young people. Because again, I was listening to AC/DC and all the songs that it was telling me to do. Because the beast does release a beat into our spirit person. I get it. I understand it more. We are being discipled by something and somebody every day. What we need to be is the people in the time of unrighteousness to be the Enochs of our day. You can read about that incredible man's journey, Genesis 5. The world is very dark around him. Scripture says in Genesis 5, 21 through 24, he so walks so close with God that one day when they were just walking together, and he's talking again, I'm not talking about a physical being, he's just walking and having such communion with God that somehow God just says, why don't you come on home with me? I so love this relationship with you. And he doesn't come home. Can you think about that? Chris doesn't come home. Ann's going, where's Chris? I don't know. He left the church. We hadn't seen him he didn't make it home. Could you imagine that story? But that's what we need, is a generation of Enochs who are that sold out to God. Because when you look at the culture at that time, it was a tremendous culture of darkness. Noah, same way. Can you imagine? Never been any rain. He's been told by God to build this ark, to build it out of gopher wood, to make this thing so big and everything. Can you imagine these guys come by? Again, the earth is just full of people of debauchery. And they come bebopping by and go, Noah, what are you doing? Building an ark. Why are you building an ark? God told me to. What? Yeah, he says it's going to rain. What's rain? Never had rain to that point. Not a drop had hit the face of the earth. But he was sold out to God in the midst of a perverse generation. Samuel, a prophet that was dedicated by his parents. Parents, can I tell you, no matter how old our children may be, you're dedicating your children to the Lord and pray them in that place of consecration makes a huge difference. Hannah couldn't have a baby, and she says, God, if you'll let me have one, I will give him to you. And in the midst of that place of a committed heart, of consecrated heart, he's left with a group of prophets who are really spiritual bums, Eli and his sons. Spiritual wickedness. Eli's sons are sleeping with women at the very entrance of the Ark of the Covenant. But yet, when you truly consecrate your children, and again, we stay after praying over our children, we see their hiccups and stuff, you still pray it in, and you call forth the destiny. And in the midst of a perverse generation, there'll be prophets that declare dry bones come to life. Amen? Then there's Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and company. When they were told to bow their knees because this great Babylonian statue had been made of the king in that day and time. And when they were told that they had to bow their knee, that everyone had to bow their knee, they chose not to because their knees could only and should only be bowed to the living God. You see, this music of the beast has been going on forever as it says there in Revelations. And as the music started in that day of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we're not going to do it. It's reported back to the king. He gets so angry, and many of you know the story. The furnace is turned up seven times the amount. And all of a sudden, they still don't bow their knee. Church, I believe yesterday was the bride of Christ getting up off of her knee of bowing to the things of the earth in Houston, Texas. As I had been preparing and praying over this message, that's what my prayer had been, that yesterday the response would be we would all get off of our knees of how we bow to the idols of this earth. And so they didn't bow. And because of that, the fire was turned up seven times the amount. They were thrown into the fiery pit. And can you imagine the king? And I love how God loves to talk to unsaved people. Here's this king, doesn't know anything about God, if you will. And he goes over to the fire because now there's not just three guys in the fire, there's four. And here's how God loves to talk to unsaved people. The king of Babylon goes over there and he goes, oh my gosh, didn't we throw three? But yet there's four, and one of them looks like the Son of Man. It's the incarnate Christ in the midst of the fire with those three guys. An unsaved who didn't know anything declares, this is the Son of Man. He's not ordinary. Are we settling for the ordinary when he's extraordinary? He shows up in fire for his sons and daughters. And then Jesus, our true and only example. He sold out to God with everything within him. It says in Luke 4 that Jesus is taken up. He's had the 40 days of prayer and fasting. He could be weak physically, but he's alive spiritually. And he's taken up on this mountaintop by the devil, and the devil offers him all the kingdoms of Babylon, all the kingdoms that we've known since the creation of time to now and forward. And he says, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. You see, when you've had the one true taste of the one kingdom that really matters, why do you want to drink of that vomit? And that's what Peter says. He says, how could you drink of the real deal but return to the vomit like a dog of the culture of the earth? Church, it's time, because that's graphic language in Scripture. It's not me making it up. It's time that we do not drink of the vomit of the earth. I shared this the other night in one of our prayer times in closing here. Corey and I, we go out on our lunch date as father and son every other Wednesday. And we were talking about something that a prophet of the earth, if you will, Colin Coward, he's a ESPN sports announcer. And they just talk randomly sometimes on his radio and TV show. And he was going, you know, what's this deal about Americans really want family value? He says, I hear over and over that they want family value. Do not believe he's a Christian at all, of course. He says, but let's look at the fruit of that. Now, that's my words. It's, you know, he didn't say it like that. He says they want family values, but 2.5 Men have been the number one show for the last 3 years. And that's Charlie Sheen's show or whatever. Never watched it. So all that to say, again, it's not a do and don't list. But church, how do we expect to walk in the power of God when we constantly are putting our spiritual eyes before things that we shouldn't? See, the kids walk by and I lost half of you right there. You go, man, they're so cute. But I want to say it again. Are there TV shows that cause you to lose your passion for the Lord? You see, it's not about a do and don't list. It's about what is causing you to lose passion for the Lord. I love Braveheart. I've only watched it 114 times and will probably go up more and more. So it's not about movies are bad or this and that. But Braveheart, I assure you, does not steal my passion for God. It infuses it. Inflames it. What's stealing your passion for God? what's nipping at your vine of destiny. You are being discipled, I assure you. You're being discipled by one culture or another, and there's no ifs, ands, and buts in between. None. And when we get a mixture of it, that's the reason we'll fall into complacency and lukewarmness. So how do we get our passion and keep it? I believe that we made a turn yesterday. How do we keep it? Number one, I believe that you've got to have set apart time of prayer with God. One of the nights, it was actually Thursday night. Us great warriors up here, we're really praying for all these prayer requests, and Steve is one of them that we're praying for. Nancy Tuck has got us prayer requests. She had been praying for him, and she gets ready to leave, and Steve comes bebopping into the church. Nancy was about to head home, and she said, I can't head home. I got to come in, and we got to really pray for Steve. So she came in, and she told me all that, so we gathered around him and prayed for him, powerful time. But then Steve prayed for us. And of the 15 of us or so here at that time, other than Lori blessing us with a couple of songs, the rest of us were totally blasted out on the floor. And for 2 hours, there was basically total silence. Total silence. And as I was laying there, the Lord just kept speaking to me, Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. Yeah, Joyce was here. She's quoting the scripture with me. And the Lord says, go look up the original meaning of the word still. Be still and know that I'm God. And yeah, it means to be quiet and all that stuff, but the root word is Rapha, healer. Is what Rapha means. And I started thinking about doctors, physical doctors talk about how your body can heal itself when you feed it the right thing. You don't even have to be taking all this Zocor and all this stuff that's bad to your body. And I started thinking, has God wired us that we would spiritually heal ourselves if we would eat the right thing? Could we really heal ourselves or God heal us if I would learn to be still? And for 2 hours, wasn't a peep made in this worship center, basically. I laid here. Chris was over there. Rhett, all of us were different places. I wonder if your sickness, spiritual sickness, maybe even your physical, emotional, is because we don't know how to be still anymore. We have phones that keep us tied in. And by the way, C and I are going on vacation for about 2 weeks. Don't call us. We'll call you. Because it's a time to unplug in the mountains of Colorado and get still. But you see, it has to be more than just our vacation. It has to be every day. Do we know how to be still any longer? And if we don't learn how to do it in our prayer closet, we'll never do it out on the streets. Two stories. My first close. It's only 11:17. Do you think Jesus learned to be still in the mountains in the wilderness with his Father? Because you read the Gospels, he was constantly in prayer with his Father. Just him and Daddy. Do you think that's where he learned to get still? That even in the busy streets of Jerusalem, he would be still in his spirit, man? Great story of that is John 8. The woman caught in adultery, Jesus is talking to some of the guys, and as you read the scripture, it seems like Jesus might have been sitting down like this. He's cultivated a life of being still before his daddy. And the chaos breaks out all around him, and these great Pharisees of training of the Old Testament catches this woman in adultery, and she's thrown down before his feet. And they go, this woman's been caught in adultery. The scripture says she is to be stoned. But you see, when you've cultivated a life of being still before daddy, you just kind of wait for daddy's plans to come forth. And the scripture says that Jesus started kind of drawing some stick fingers or drawing in the dirt. You see, it's about your spirit, man. It's not so much about your flesh and blood. When you've cultivated a lifestyle of being still. And he starts drawing there, and then all of a sudden he gets the download from Daddy. He says, well, those without sin, go ahead and stone her then. Of course, they know that they've got sin, and if they say that they don't, well, then this would do this. And if they say that they... So little by little, we don't know how long it took, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. They dropped their stones of accusation and walked away. But as Jesus was waiting, he goes back to being still and drawing in the dirt. And then he releases a woman that I believe had had bondage all of her life. She didn't know love, true love. Mike Bickle said something. This is my last close. He said yesterday, he says, the problem is not the sinners of this nation. It's the fact we're not preaching truth from our pulpits. He says we're calling love not what God calls love. And then we're asking God to bless that love that's not in alignment with his kind of love. Do we love unconditionally? When he said that, and I started thinking, we all carry a pulpit. Yeah, I may be the one that stands behind here on Sunday. You carry a pulpit by the way you live your life. Do you have stones of accusation that you're holding against people? Church, it's time that we mature and grow up. It's time that we're discipled by the one and true only kingdom that gives hope, life. One culture, darkness, is trying to release hopelessness, fear, doubt. It's churning out of Washington, D.C. real well, trying to get us all to be fearful out of stuff. The media is doing a good job of releasing that culture. Sell everything, apparently. Or there's a culture of God that's always peaceful, always full of love, always full of joy. It's always full of life. What culture are you listening to? What culture are you being discipled by? We must be people of prayer and of the Word. If this is the only time you eat of the Word all week long when I preach, or men's Bible study or women's prayer meeting, you're going to have a very sad life that will be full of chaos. But if we will be people of prayer and people of the Word, we will be people of His presence, and we'll see revival come to the face of our land. Amen? Let's pray. Now, if we can just have the worship team back up for one worship song, then I'm going to have the Clevengers just share and pray over people. Well, Father, we ask that you would teach us, disciple us. It says in Scripture that Jesus only listened to one kingdom, one culture, and that was his Father's. No wonder he batted 100% in excellence, spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, and financially. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would break off all the different roots, fragmented ways that the culture of darkness speaks to us. That rejection and fear and hopelessness and sickness would be displaced today, today, today. Because we come in alignment with the one culture, the one kingdom. It's nothing but love and life. So Lord, I love you. We love you. I thank you for these awesome men and women of God, and that you'd bless them spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, and financially. Let us fall deeper and deeper in love with you and stop the sound of the beast, that culture, and release the culture and the voice of the bridegroom, of the shepherd, of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. In your name we pray. Amen.